Next case on our calendar is 06-1695, Henry Lee Adams, Jr. Mr. Young.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moyer, and may it please the court. My name is Joe Young. I'm an Assistant Cuyahoga County Prosecutor, appearing on behalf of the Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services, who is the appellant in this action. For purpose of consistency with my appellant's brief, I will refer to my client, the appellant, as the agency or, where appropriate, as CCDCFS. And I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Watch your time there on the clock.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case arises from a cause of action involving abused, neglected, or dependent children who were initially placed in the temporary custody of the agency. Following two separate extensions of temporary custody, a trial was had on the merits based on the agency's motion to modify temporary custody to permanent custody. After a trial, the temporary custody order was continued in effect or extended after a denial was entered as to the agency's motion on its merits. An appeal was taken by the agency to the 8th District Court of Appeals. As the case entered the briefing stages, upon motion of the mother's attorney, the Court of Appeals dismissed the appeal for what amounted to lack of a final appealable order. Although their wording was per Civil Rule 54B, without explanation, despite a request for clarification or reconsideration, a subsequent case that is also pending before the court and is being held for resolution of this matter, in re KM, did involve a written decision of the 8th District where it elaborated on its dismissal and stated that in fact it determined that a denial of a permanent custody motion was not a final appealable order. The issue before this court then is such a denial a final appealable order pursuant to Revised Code 2505.02? And in looking at the statute, the relevant section that applies involves a substantial right occurring in a special proceeding, that is 2505.02b2. The two prongs that must be met in order to establish a final appealable order are that a substantial right has been affected in a special proceeding. Now, of the counsel that appear before argument on behalf of appellees, I don't believe either one of them has challenged the fact that juvenile court proceedings are special proceedings for purposes of this statute. I think more of the debate, frankly, focuses on the substantial right aspect of it. And when you look at the statute, substantial right is defined as a right that the U.S. or Ohio Constitution, a statute, common law, or a rule of procedure entitles a person to enforce or protect. Now, the statutes involved in these proceedings are very clear. They do establish and delineate rights of an agency to enforce and protect.
To what extent do we, the agency really, maybe it's an overstatement to say it stands in the shoes of the minor, but certainly the agency's purpose, mission, is to protect the minor from the things that can happen to minors in family situations. To what extent do we, in looking and determining the substantial right of the agency, to what extent do we look at the right of the minor, of the child? Doesn't the child here have an interest in, if it's possible, to be reunited with his or her family, parents? Isn't that the ultimate goal, ideally?
Actually, ideally, the goal is to never have a child removed, but ultimately the goal of these proceedings is to achieve permanency for that child, either with its biological family or another permanent family, wherever that is possible to do. Certainly the preference is with biological family, but where that is not possible in a timely manner, then the statutes are very clear that a child deserves permanency where it can be found. So there are interests of the child at issue here, and one of the things that I think is highlighted by your question is the fact that a distinction has attempted to have been made by appellees regarding differences between parental rights and agency rights. But the interesting thing about these cases are we're not dealing just with a governmental agency. In these cases, the agency has been designated as the custodian of the child, stepping into the role of parent, if you will, for these children, because the parents of these child have been deemed unfit to do so. Once the children are adjudicated and placed in the agency's custody, the statute defines custodian as a person with legal custody or a public children's service agency with permanent, temporary, or legal custody of the child.
Well, the substantial right of the child here is whom the agency is protecting, is it not that the process, whatever the process is, will take long enough that the best decision for me, the child, is made? And the trial court here said I'm not ready yet to order permanent custody. We need some more time. So what's, in that context, how is the substantial right of the agency, and I'm connecting the two, obviously, the
yes.
child, affected?
Well, it is clearly affected because courts are not entitled to just say, I want more time. The legislature has been very clear at the federal and the state level that there is a finite amount of time that is allowed for these cases. The Adoption Safe Families Act enacted by the federal legislature is mirrored by similar enactments by the state of Ohio. In fact, there has been a long discourse about such amendments to the legislation in this court's decision out of September 6th of 2006 in the case of In re AB, where it talked about foster care drift and the desire for more expeditious permanency, and that being a fundamental goal of the legislative enactments. This court has promoted that, and in order to facilitate that process, the agency has a right to protect in these cases. That right is its duty and its right to promote efficient and expeditious permanency for this child wherever it can be had. In fact, the statutes at 5153.18a state that the agency has the right, just like any person, any natural person, to institute proceedings in any court in the state in order to effectuate those rights. You look to 5153.16a.4 and 19, it talks about the services the agency provides for a child in its care that it considers to be in the child's best interest, and that it shall make reasonable efforts to place the child in a timely manner in accordance with the approved permanency plan. They shall complete whatever steps necessary to finalize that permanent placement. So in this case, the agency has a right to take whatever steps, including appeal of an adverse decision, to finalize that permanent placement. That's one of the basic rights that this agency has as the custodian of the child.
At the moment, your agency has temporary custody of this
child.
That
is correct.
So is there anything that would preclude another motion for permanent custody
in
this instance?
No, but that is the downward spiral that Apelli's argument takes. If you recall in my reply brief, I presented a scenario where such a situation could happen where the agency files motion after motion after motion, all of them denied by the trial court in favor of a continuation of temporary custody. And conceivably, that could take the child all the way out to age 18, which is clearly impermissible by legislation, and we were able to get no review from it, that would never be reviewable by a court of record other than the trial court,
but that
would not achieve permanency for that child.
But if the court determined that, as the chief indicates, this isn't quite the right time, and we let the matter mature a bit, there's nothing to preclude the agency from coming back seeking another motion or hearing with respect to a permanent custody order.
No, but every day that the child is denied permanency is a denial of the rights of the agency to promote that. And in fact, in this case, we're talking about children who were removed initially in July of 2003, and at the time of the trial in January of 2006, they'd been in custody for over 2.5 years. The legislature clearly states that children cannot remain in temporary custody more than 2 years. So it's not a case where this is not just ripe for time to consider permanent custody.
Wasn't that the answer to your statement that a trial court could ad infinitum until the child becomes 18 can just keep the child in temporary custody?
Well, absolutely, and I think the danger is that a trial court, for whatever reasons, may be reluctant to terminate parental rights for a variety of reasons. I've seen it happen a lot, and it may choose the lesser evil in its mind of just continuing the status quo indefinitely until such time as things work themselves out or become so irretrievable that they cannot justify another result, and that's not the way the statutes are meant to work for these children. In fact,
wouldn't the trial court be in violation of statute if it did that?
It would be in violation of statute, much the same way as this
trial court. Courts don't attempt to be in violation of statutes, do they?
Well,
that one's pretty clear. We've written on it. It's pretty clear what the law is.
Well, you've written very clearly that the law is temporary custody can only last for 2 years. In re Murray holds that, as well as a number of other cases. However, there is precedent out of the 8th District since that time that held that 2 years is just sort of a consideration, and temporary custody can really last indefinitely because of this court's holding in re Young Children. In fact, the 8th District misapplied the Young Children precedent. Young Children stands for the proposition that the sunset date for temporary custody does not divest the court of jurisdiction to issue dispositional orders. What it does not say is that the court may arbitrarily choose any dispositional order, regardless of the limitations imposed by statute.
And your argument, I believe, is that even if the statute is imposing an obligation on the judge, if you're denied the right to appeal, you have no way to enforce the following of that statute by the judge.
Absolutely. And the problem that is very apparent here is if the judge does not follow the permanent custody statute, make the appropriate considerations, or make appropriate rulings available by statute, if the agency is not entitled to appeal that, that decision can go unchecked. In this case, it's been suggested by appellees that perhaps the guardian ad litem should appeal on behalf of the child. Well, we're faced with the case where the guardian ad litem recommended permanent custody. It was denied, and yet no appeal was taken by the guardian ad litem. Just because the guardian ad litem may take an appeal doesn't mean the agency does not have a substantial right to protect in this case.
Why wouldn't a good solution in this matter be that denials are not final appealable orders unless the denial is outside the two-year statutory limit?
Well, I think because this court has made it very clear that any order of temporary custody, including an extension thereof, is a final appealable order. And when you look at the framework, temporary custody by its definition is only supposed to last 1 year. An extension may be ordered on the first occasion only if the court determines that a parent has made substantial compliance in rectifying the case plan issues and reunification is likely during that period. A second extension, which is the maximum allowable, is then only authorized by statute if additional substantial progress is made on the case plan and reunification is still very likely. Unfortunately, my experience has been that the trial courts routinely order extensions because they figure, well, we've got 2 years, we'll let it play out regardless of the facts of the case, and then I'm not faced today with making this tough decision. I think that's an unfortunate reality in this process, and it's underscored by your question, why not limit it to those outside 2 years? Technically, the law is temporary custody is a one-year disposition.
Counsel, would you imagine if we do find that it is a final appealable order that your agency, every time it doesn't receive temporary custody or doesn't receive custody pursuant to its motion, is in the appellate court?
No. I've been doing appeals exclusively for the agency for 5 years. I counsel regularly on denials of permanent custody, and unless there is a legitimate issue, the agency does not take appeals because they don't want to prolong uncertainty for the children. In this case, there was an according to the agency's position, there was an unlawful order issued regarding temporary custody beyond 2 years, and we felt that that was an appropriate thing to bring back
up. Is this the first time that you've experienced this, or the agency has experienced it, where a judge has gone beyond the 2 year?
This order, no. There have been a few instances that have been taken appeals, but there have been many cases where denials were made based on the facts, and the recommendation is that if you've got just a manifest weight, don't take it up to the court because that's a very high standard and you're not doing the children a service. So it's incorrect to say that the agency would appeal every adverse decision. It is pursued on the basis of the best interests of the children, the legal issues involved, and how that would affect all the other children in the county, but it is not a unthinking act of appeal because we have an adverse decision.
Mr. Young? Excuse me.
Yes.
Judge, go ahead.
But you would want a bright line then for us to say that once the 2 years is up, the court must rule for permanent custody.
Well, that's not what I'm seeking here, and in fact, that's one of the issues that has not yet been addressed at the appellate level because our case was dismissed. That's something that will be addressed if this appeal is reinstated. The interesting thing that I note in my reply brief is the 8th District bases its entire KM decision on the case of In re Wilkinson out of the 2nd District. Just last December, the 2nd District itself allowed an agency to appeal a denial of permanent custody in favor of a third extension of temporary custody. It reversed it as being erroneous and sent it back for that reason. So to say that the 2nd District supports the 8th District's holding is clearly illogical based on what's going on in the 2nd District. There really is no basis for the 8th District's holding that this is a non-final appealable order.
Mr. Young, how many children are there, in your estimate, in temporary custody in Cuyahoga County at the moment?
You know, there are thousands. I don't know what the number is. There are thousands of children in temporary custody and in permanent custody, or actually I should say in agency custody. That includes permanent custody, temporary custody, et cetera. I couldn't give you an exact figure as to today how many temporary custody children there are. But
the point is that this ruling is going to apply to thousands of children just in Cuyahoga County and, across the state of Ohio.
This ruling should apply to every child in agency custody throughout the state.
And your statement is that the statute limits temporary custody to a 12-month period.
It does, unless there is valid cause for extension. And at most, it limits it to 2 years. But again, that gets beyond the issue before this court, because we haven't even had the chance to address
that.
The
issue before this court is the finality of a denial of a permanent custody.
Correct.
And presumably, then, if that is only permitted for a one-year period, there will be literally thousands of these cases pending for application for permanent custody in the appellate courts.
Well, any given case, obviously, when a child comes into custody, the primary goal is reunification. Only those cases where reunification can't be achieved, according to statute, are motions for permanent custody filed as required by statute. The law is very clear that if a child has been in agency custody for 12 of 22 months, the Children's Services Agency shall file a motion for permanent custody unless it can document compelling reasons to not do so.
Thank you.
I think I've used up my time.
Let me ask you, maybe I missed something in your brief. In this case, the trial court held the child for more than 2 years in temporary custody, right?
Did yes, actually the...
Why wouldn't that be a substantial, affect a substantial right?
Well, I think...
You say that that's not here, but...
I think it does affect a substantial right, but it's not
argue
the
that.
Key
I,
point.
I didn't see the argument in your
I
brief.
Don't think that's the key point. The length of time, I think, is immaterial for the issue before this court. The fact that the ultimate substantive issue of law before the trial court was a motion for permanent custody. That motion was denied. It was denied on its merits. That is a final order that should be subject to appeal by all parties, including the agency. The agency has a substantial right as defined by statute. The appellees try to make a distinction between paramount rights of parents and agency rights that aren't equal, but that's not the test.
Denial, the trial court leaves the child in temporary custody, right?
Yes, it does.
Beyond the 2 years.
It can do that. It can leave a child in temporary custody. It can order a child to be reunified. It can order a child into a planned permanent living arrangement, which this court addressed in the case of In Re AB. That case really is no different than this case, other than you call one disposition PPLA, or planned permanent living arrangement, the other one you call it temporary custody. It still results in agency maintaining custody with the future ability to file another motion for permanent custody. But
does a child have a substantial right in the court making a decision within the 2 years?
Absolutely. A child has many substantial rights. The point that this case makes before
here.
This court...
I'm just trying to... I'm making an argument for you, but I'm trying to... Isn't that the issue, then? Am I missing something?
No, that is one of the issues. One of the issues is the child has a right. The agency is the custodian and promoting the interests of the child. The agency has a substantial right by virtue of that, as well as its mandate and its right and duty to make decisions on behalf of the child. The substantial right test has been satisfied.
So, counsel, you're not saying it should be a final appealable order once the juvenile judge, entertains the initial one-year motion and then extends it for good cause to 2 years. And once it gets to 2 years, and if the motion is made for permanent custody and it is denied, that at that juncture it becomes appealable. You want it even to be appealable the first time that it is requested by the agency. If it's denied, and then the agency makes a determination whether they should appeal this. But it would be up to the discretion of the agency on whether they go forward and appeal at the one-year juncture.
Absolutely, and that can...
But, wait a minute, let me...
Okay.
At the two-year, end of 2 years, if it's been legitimately extended by determination of the juvenile court, are you saying the agency at that point would then have discretion on whether to appeal it?
I think the agency has the right to appeal any dispositional order that's final appealable, and just like any other party, it has...
Let me put it a different way. Would the agency be mandated to appeal that order at the end of 2 years, then, if the judge does not grant the motion for permanent custody?
No, the agency would never be mandated to take any appeal. Mm-hmm. It's a discretionary thing, just like any other party.
So then you would allow the judge to violate the statute beyond that with temporary placement continuously?
No. What I would say is, depending on the order issued by the court, the agency would evaluate it and determine the propriety of an appeal. We would not allow the judge to violate a statute. If we felt that it was a disservice to the child and it was violative of the statutory requirements, the agency most likely would appeal that decision, which it has done in this case. However, there are cases where you file a request for permanent custody off an original complaint. Those cases may be denied, and it's clearly not after 2 years of custody, but those cases don't automatically go to an appeal because it's dependent on the best interest of the child as the agency evaluates it. The agency is charged to make decisions that it considers are in the best interest of the child.
And I understand the discretion up to the 2 year, but when the statute says that a child shall not be in permanent custody longer than 2 years, and
correct,
the judge extends that by not granting and making an alternative arrangement for the child.
Okay.
What position does that place the agency in at the end, where the time has been exhausted, according to statute?
If I understand your question correctly, the position of the agency, in my estimation, would be to appeal any order that extends temporary custody beyond 2 years, because it's so important a rule of law.
Right, then let me ask you a follow-up to Justice O'Donnell's question.
Yes.
With these thousands of children that are in temporary custody within the agency at this point, I wonder how many are beyond that 2 year period.
Should be very few, because if there is a case called to the agency's attention but after trial where children remain after 2 years and their efforts to achieve permanency have been denied, it comes through me and our appellate staff to determine the propriety of the appeal, and our position is that that is a fundamental violation of the whole framework of the statute, and we will appeal because it's anathema to the whole Adoption and Safe Families Act. For the large part of those children, thousands of children in agency custody, they are not beyond the 2 years because many children come into custody, they are reunified shortly thereafter, maybe within months or weeks. There is a constant flux of children coming in and out, but at any given one in time, there are a great number of children in agency custody. There are very few that are in temporary custody beyond the 2 years, quite frankly, because the courts, for the most part, follow the law and do not extend beyond 2 years. But in those cases where a particular judge or several judges in particular cases decide to do that, we think it's appropriate to bring those up for further review, and we should be allowed to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Mr. Kulowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. The answer to Your Honor's question about the timing situation is that 2151.353F provides that upon the filing of a dispositional motion required under 2151.415, which is the statute that requires the agency to file a motion for permanent custody if the child's been there for more than 12 out of the past 22 months. Upon the filing of a dispositional motion, the temporary custody shall continue until the juvenile court enters a dispositional order. So that's exactly what we have here. We had the filing, we had two filings actually of a motion for permanent custody, the motion for the permanent disposition. The juvenile court denied the one, but it has not issued a dispositional order under the statute. So the court, as this court has recognized in numerous cases, retains jurisdiction to act in the best interest of the child throughout the court's supervision. So the ultimate answer is under 353.F, upon the filing of that required dispositional motion, the temporary custody continues until the juvenile court enters the dispositional order.
So what would be the outer limits of that? I think we've had some indication here today that maybe some of these things go on and on and on, even in that regard. And so what would be the outer limits of being a not a final appealable order?
Well, first, let me just say on the facts of this case, what we have is a very meticulous and conscientious judge who has adhered rigorously to the deadlines in the case and moved the case forward. The court has before it Form D and the superintendent's forms to keep track of the juvenile court situation, the status of juvenile court cases. It regularly monitors those. You know, the data that come from those is important to the court. There are mandamus proceedings if a case is going over and beyond without any justification. And as well, Your Honor, the parents have a right here as well. The parents and the children, the guardian ad litem, all of the participants in this process have a right. So they presumably could go up to the Court of Appeals as well if there was an order that affected their substantial right. You know, those are the safeguards that we have against that sort of a scenario. But it's not what we have here. We do not have a rogue judge who's holding on to a case indefinitely here. We have a conscientious juvenile court judge who has meticulously adhered to the deadlines and followed through. What the county is asking the court to do here is to create a new class of final and appealable orders. It would consist of any order of the juvenile court that extends the time before final disposition. The county says on pages 12 and 13 of its reply brief that it is not the right to custody that it is seeking to protect here, but the right to achieve expeditious permanency for the children. And what
so, counsel, what you're basically saying is that these time limits that are set are triggers for the agency to petition the court, and then it's up to the court, especially if we're looking at the two-year milestone, to act upon that motion, and if it takes longer than, I mean, it takes some time for the court, that's okay, because the two-year period is not a mark by which the agency, or the, excuse me, the court either has to make a decision or they're in not in compliance with the statute.
That's right, Your Honor. The sunset provisions of the child dependency statutes apply, as this court ruled in the Young case, and as this court specifically ruled in the Young case, they apply to the agency. Mm-hmm. They are, the deadlines that are set in there are deadlines by which the agency must do certain things in the course of a child dependency proceeding. Here, they do not divest the court of jurisdiction. As the court noted in that case, to allow such a ruling, it could have a catastrophic effect on the whole juvenile court system here.
Mr. Kulowitz, did I understand your argument correctly that the trial court in this case has not yet entered a final dispositional order of denying permanent custody? Or
Your Honor, the court has denied the motion of the county for permanent custody, but the court has not entered one of the six dispositional orders that are provided in Section 415.
Such as?
Permanent custody, legal custody with another relative, reunification with the family.
So the statute has addressed the granting of a permanent custody order as being final and appealable, but it hasn't addressed the denial of a motion for permanent custody as being final and appealable. Is that your position?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's correct. And what the county is asking the court to do here is to
add a seventh category of the denial of a motion for permanent custody as being final and appealable.
Well, it's even broader than that, Your Honor. It's whenever there is an order that operates to as an obstruction to achieving expeditious permanency. In other words, whenever there is an order that is going to extend the time to final disposition, the county should have a right to leapfrog over the juvenile court, to divest the juvenile court of jurisdiction, and to get an on-the-spot review of that order. And that's radically different from what the statute provides now.
Although, counsel, the proposition is phrased a little narrower than that. I have a question relating to whether this issue has been addressed by other districts, other appellate districts. Can you comment on that, please?
Yes, it has, Your Honor. Every court of appeals that has considered this issue has ruled that the interim denial of a motion to modify temporary custody to permanent custody is not a final appealable order because it does not affect the substantial right of the agency. The Cuyahoga County Court of Appeals ruled that in this case and in the KM case. The Brown County Court of Appeals reached that conclusion in the Dowers case, and the Montgomery County Court of Appeals in the Wilkinson case. The DJ case, which was decided subsequently, is a totally different procedural scenario. There, the juvenile court specifically entered a third extension of temporary custody, which is beyond the statutory allowance. And what the Montgomery County Court of Appeals did in that case was to say that was error to explicitly allow a third six-month extension of custody. There was no statutory basis for that. So it reversed and it remanded on that basis. Appealability was not an issue in that case, and that was a different procedural scenario. So every court of appeals that has addressed this issue so far, Your Honor, has ruled that this is not a final and appealable order. Notably, with the Wilkinson case, that the Montgomery County Court of Appeals issued that decision in March 1996, and that was 2 years before the General Assembly amended Section 2505.02 to add definitions of substantial right and elucidate the final and appealable order statute. If the General Assembly thought that the Montgomery County Court of Appeals had gotten it wrong in the Wilkinson case, the legislature had it in its power to add to the definition of effect and substantial right, an order that denied a motion to modify temporary custody, to permanent custody, but the General Assembly did not do so.
So what is the remedy for a child who has been in temporary custody for, let's just say, 2 years, and the dispositional order of the court denies permanent custody to the agency, thereby continuing temporary custody beyond the two-year period with the agency? What remedy is then available either to the child or to the agency, in your view?
Well, Your Honor, the child, the child's parents, the guardians ad litem, have the ability to file motions for any of the dispositional alternatives that are out there. They can move for reunification. They can move for legal custody with another suitable individual, for protective supervision, planned permanent, whatnot, for planned permanent living arrangement. But they have the alternative to file the whole panoply of motions.
Is there no forum then for the agency to assert an abuse of discretion on the part of the trial court in denying such a motion?
The Court of Appeals, Your Honor.
Issue then would be that you'd say that should be appealable. It's just what Mr. Young has been arguing to us for the last 15 minutes.
It should be appealable pursuant to the Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio. And the appellate jurisdiction statutes say that the only final orders from which you can appeal are ones that affect a substantial right.
But given the circumstance of a child being in temporary custody for the two-year maximum period, given the circumstance of a final adjudication denying the agency permanent custody, thereby continuing the child with the agency in temporary custody, if the agency feels that the action of the trial court constitutes an abuse of discretion in failing to grant that custody, how does it get any relief if it can't appeal that order because it's not final and appealable?
Upon final judgment, Your Honor, upon the entry of final judgment, the agency will have a full opportunity for meaningful and effective review of that order.
And your view is that the denial of the permanent custody is not a final order, so the agency has to wait. Am I right?
The final order would be the entry of a dispositional order granting one of the six statutory dispositions.
All right. So if under the scenario presented by your opposing counsel, if the temporary order is extended time and time again, there's no challenge, even if it's beyond the 2 years?
Well, Your Honor, there can only be two extensions of the temporary custody under the law, and we've had those in this case. But then 353F comes into play, and upon the filing of the required dispositional motion, the temporary custody continues until the court enters a dispositional order.
That's not my question.
I'm sorry.
My question is, if the court continues, despite the 2 years, to enter temporary custody orders, is there no right of appeal? It's a yes or a no.
If the court explicitly extends temporary custody the way that the court did in the DJ case in Montgomery County, that would be a different scenario. The 2 years and the 6 month, the 2 years applies to the agency under the statute.
Do you believe that after 2 years, if the temporary custody is continued, then the agency now has a right to appeal because there is a statutory violation?
No, Your Honor. No, the violation that was at issue in the DJ case was the juvenile court there expressly entering a third 6 month extension of temporary custody. And there's no statutory basis for that whatsoever.
So that's
the statute says you get two.
If the court extends a temporary custody beyond the 2 years, then you would agree that that could be appealed.
If there were an express extension, another 6 month extension of temporary custody, that would be a different scenario than we have here.
Are you drawing a distinction between denial of a motion for permanent custody versus an express extension?
Yes, Your Honor, because what happened?
So if they just deny, they file five more motions for permanent custody, they deny five motions for permanent custody, but they don't enter it as an express extension, it could go for years more with no right of appeal.
Well, Your Honor, the ultimate cornerstone is the statute here. And what the statute provides is that after a temporary custody order is issued at the outset of the case, then there can be two extensions of that. At a certain point in time, which is prior to the end of the 2 years, the agency must file a dispositional motion, and that the temporary custody shall continue as a matter of statute until the court issues a dispositional order.
And counsel, whose responsibility is it then for that to make a motion for the dispositional order once the motion for permanent custody is denied by the court? Because at that point, there's several other options available to the agency, correct? If their first choice was permanent custody with the agency and the court denies that, that's not the same as the court issuing a dispositional order. So then it's up to the agency to either refile the permanent custody at some point or file a motion for some other type of dispositional that the statute enumerates. Is that your position?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And while the agency is determining how they're going to react to the denial of their permanent custody order, the temporary custody continues, but doesn't continue with an order from the court. It just continues until another motion is before the court.
Well, and even more precisely, it continues until the court finally issues a dispositional order.
Right.
Any of the participants may file a motion, but by operation of 2151.353F, the temporary custody continues until the court.
Has the agency here filed a motion for a dispositional order? Do we know?
I'm not aware that
before,
the agency has filed
it. In the record, not, obviously not since then, but.
No.
So as far as we know of the record is that the trial court denied the agency's motion for permanent custody, and sort of by default, the child stays in temporary custody until the agency files a motion to do something other than temporary custody, I assume. Because it doesn't want temporary, it doesn't, well, it wants temporary custody, I suppose, I don't know, but.
But what the record in this case shows, Your Honor, is that there was the order, the journal entry that the court put on in February of 2006, but then there was an amended journal entry, which the county did not feature in its brief, but it's in the supplement here, issued 2 months later. And what the juvenile court made clear in that amended journal entry, the appeal intervened, so the court did not have power after that to bring it about. But what the court made clear in that is that this family was headed toward reunification. It was poised to reunification as soon as the school year ended so that the child could stay in the same school district with the foster family.
So your argument, I think, then to extend it is that when the trial court enters a dispositional order, the agency has the authority, then that's affecting a substantial right, is that right? And they
Absolutely.
Can appeal.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. A dispositional order would be a final appealable order that the county could take up, that any of the parties
Counsel, with respect to this specific case, would I be incorrect to summarize that the judge, these are not children that the judge forgot about. These are children that the judge believes the parents are working toward putting themselves in a position to have the children back in their home, and the agency disagrees with that. Isn't that essentially the problem?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
And so the continuations are, to some extent, appear to be the judge trying to accommodate the objections of the agency, saying, well, they're not ready. These children shouldn't go back yet, that kind of thing.
Well, that's right, Your Honor. This court has recognized that the court has residual jurisdiction to implement.
And fundamental to all of that is that, at least in some counties, the agency believes they should be running the show and not the judge.
I can speak for this county alone, Your Honor, and what the juvenile court said in this case was that here is a family that has worked earnestly towards reunification. This was in April of 2006. The court noted that one of the children wanted to stay in the school district of the foster family until the end of the school year, and another one wanted to apply for a job with the foster the parent's friend, and the youngest child, it would be disruptive to move her out of sync with the brothers. So she was going to keep the status quo pending the end of the school year. But the appeal intervened, of course.
So the appeal just stopped the effort, which was close at hand, to get these children back to the parents.
That's right, Your Honor. This case proves the proposition that the shortcut is often the longest route, because what has happened here is that the Adams family, which had been separated at that time for several years, has now been separated over almost a year longer because of the appeal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We urge the court to reject the invitation to create a new class of final and appealable orders, to affirm the Cuyahoga County Court of Appeals, and to send the case back for prompt resolution. Thank you.
Mr. Young, you use your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Mr. Young, I'd like to start you with two questions. Number one, why have you not...
Here goes your 30 seconds.
Thank you.
You got to talk fast to get it in 30 seconds.
I usually try to talk slower than I...
Why is this not a legislative function to add a, as Mr. Gulowitz says, a seventh category of appeal to 353F, number one? My second question is, have you filed a dispositional order in accordance with the statutory provisions subsequent to the court's order?
Two issues that I hope to address on rebuttal. First of all, we're not asking for a new category. We're saying that we have a substantial right in a special proceeding. That's an existing category.
But it isn't specified in 353F, according to Mr. Kulowitz.
353F is inapplicable. 353F is a tolling statute. What it says that upon the filing of a motion for further dispositional order, if it's not resolved by the time the year is up, then that doesn't just dissipate and the case miss.
Are there not six categories of dispositional orders that the court can enter in 353?
Under 353, those are categories of original disposition on a complaint. But then it goes on to say that once those have been ordered, if a motion to modify has been filed, what 353F does is toll the expiration until the court has a chance to rule on the merits. That does not constitute a substantive continuation of temporary custody. It's just basically a savings clause, if you will.
So your view is that the existing statute gives you a right under what we've defined as a final appealable order to appeal this denial of the request for permanent custody?
Yes, and in fact, Mr. Kluwix has conceded my point because he says that upon the issuance of a further dispositional order, we would have a right to appeal. The fact is this court has already issued a dispositional order. It denied the motion for permanent custody and proceeded through 415 to order the continuation of temporary custody beyond the 2 years that's already been extended.
Subsequent to the court's denial of the order for permanent custody, has your office filed any subsequent matters that are pending for disposition of this case?
No, because the court has already issued a dispositional order. In conjunction with the denial, it went on to say, we are instead ordering that temporary custody be continued. That is a further dispositional order on the merits. The case of In re McDaniel that I cite in my reply brief stands for the proposition that there are two decisions on a motion for permanent custody. The court can grant it or deny it. If it denies it, it then falls back to the 415 framework to issue an alternative dispositional order.
And if, in fact, the court put an amended entry on suggesting that this is a situation working toward family reunification, what is your agency position with respect to objecting to that?
The agency is always working towards family reunification, even the day before and the day of a permanent custody trial. And with all candor, I believe what happened is the amended order, the findings of fact, were couched in terms that reflected the court's desires in the face of the statutory limitations. The first few paragraphs of that amended order specifically state that the court has denied the agency's motion for permanent custody. That is the final appealable order, regardless of the rationale. Had the court ordered immediate reunification, it could have done so at that point. Instead, it chose to continue temporary custody. What that does is make that new order of temporary custody the dispositional order and requires a subsequent hearing on the merits after a new motion is filed, another cause of action.
All right.
So it's clear that a dispositional order has been issued. Mr. Kulowicz has said that when that happens, we have a right to appeal. Therefore, I thank him for conceding the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Young. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.